Hi, I'm Suzanne Owens Crane, and I'm speaking with Maddie Crane, my granddaughter, and we're going to talk a little bit about grandparents and historical things that happened in our background. I was a Ballantine baby, born in February 14, 1943. I was the middle sister of two. I had an older sister, Mary Lou, who was 5 years older than I am, and then my little sister, Ginger, came along 3 years later after I was born, and had a very loving family, Christian family, grew up just a wonderful childhood. I knew both of my grandparents, my dad and my mom, and my dad's was Louis Owens. He was a junior. His dad was a conductor for the name of the railroad was Missouri Pacific, and on the days that I knew him until he retired because he got injured, that was his occupation. His wife's name was Myrtle Ozias Owens, and she was a homemaker, and they had my dad was the oldest, and then there was a sister named Phyllis and a brother named Charles. So they lived in Texarkana, Arkansas. That was kind of a train hub at that time. So he would travel back and forth up and down the Missouri Pacific line. And my grandmother, we called her Granny. She was instrumental in teaching me how to sew and kind of become more interested in artistic things. And then when we switched to my mom, they lived in Ashdown, Arkansas, which was about 20 miles north of Texarkana. And it was Charles William Batt and Maybelle Flowers Batt. And they had three daughters as well. The oldest was Susie, my namesake. And then Dolly was the middle child. And little Mary, my mom, they called her little Mary. They lived there after my granddad started his own business in logging and sawmill. So I grew up knowing him as a lumberman and would go out sometimes with him in the summertime when we would go out to bring big logs in on a wagon with a mule team pulling them. So it was kind of an interesting, and then he farmed and also had a farm and cows and raised all kind of vegetables. My grandmother was a big farmer, chickens, all that kind of thing. Sick. I still have a mark on my forefinger of my right hand where a rooster pecked me on my fingernail. I remember that from being out in the chicken yard trying to gather the eggs, and that rooster would chase me. In fact, my summers pretty much were spent with my grandparents because my mom was active in Girl Scouts, and she would, so that we girls could go to camp, she would go and work as a counselor in Girl Scout camp in Mena, Arkansas, which was kind of up in the northwest part of Arkansas in the mountains. So my sisters, we would go up there and spend our summers with my mom's parents and just had a really good time. At that time, I had two boy cousins of Dolly, the George and Charles, and they were a lot older, and they would take us to swim and do stuff, so it was a kind of a fun time as well. What? Brownie. Okay, I was a brownie at the time, and my little sister wasn't in Scouts yet, and then my older sister, she was in the regular Girl Scouts. So she got to go to camp before we did, and she would go one 2 week session, and then I would go the next 2 week session, and then Mom was staying the whole time. That's when we would stay at Girl Scouts. But anyway, we had a good time, kind of a country atmosphere, raised up in the summertime, and just kind of made our own playthings to play with. Sometimes we'd, my granddaddy we called him Daddy Bat. He would come and get us in his pickup truck. And at that time, we took our doll things and put them in the bed of the pickup truck and rode in the back of the pickup truck all the way to the grandparents' house. That was when you could do that. So we had no seat belts at that time, no restrictions. And so that was one of the things I can remember. But it always scared us when we had to go across the Arkansas, the river bridge, Red River Bridge, because it was a long, narrow bridge, and it was hardly room for two cars to pass each other, one in one direction, one in the other. So we remember that. And then another thing we did as kids, that on Sundays, that's when we always went to Mama Bat and Daddy Bat's house. We would go up there and all the family would gather, and we'd have Sunday dinner every Sunday. That was just the thing you did. And so we would do that as well. And then the Ashdown had a big water tank, and it was kind of a game that we would play. Whoever got to see the water tank first, you know, it was our win for that day or something. Just little simple, silly stuff. So, okay. We three sisters, Ginger and I, played together the most, obviously because of the age difference between Mary Lou and myself and her. But she was kind of the bossy one of the family. She looked after us and made sure we weren't in any trouble. One of the things I remember about, we stopped at this animal shelter one time, and I just fell in love with this little kitty cat. So they relented, and we got the kitty cat. Well, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know you. I wasn't but three, and you couldn't hug it as tightly as I hugged it. So little kitty cat didn't last very long, and that was really, I can remember that happening to me. But we had a great time, you know, as kids just playing together. When we, well, let me back up just a little bit. I forgot. When I was born, we actually lived in Ashdown. But then my dad, who was working for my my grandfather as an accountant with the lumber business, took a larger job in Texarkana, and we moved to Texarkana, and we lived in Texarkana when I was five. And at 5 years old, my older sister began to take music lessons from a piano teacher who was catacorn across the street from us. And she would come in and would play her little songs that she was learning. And then I'd hop up on the piano and just play them right after her. And they just, you know, what's going on? So Mrs. Couch was the piano teacher's name. And she told my mom, she says, I want to teach Suzanne. I want to make sure that she's, you know, can continue in music. And so that kind of started my music career. She taught me all the way through junior high. I belonged to the, you know, the women, they had a junior women's club there. It was really for girls in the music society. So we had those things we went to once a month. And then I had a private society recital when I was in junior high, and another one when I was in senior high. And she just kept instilling on me. In fact, she took me to Arkadelphia my senior year to try out for a music scholarship at the University of Arkansas, which I qualified for, but my daddy wouldn't let me go because it was too far away. So I went to Southern State College before, instead. One of the things I found out when I was in high school, I was always in band, majorette, you know, chorus, all that kind of stuff. Music, played for things for them as well. Then I found out when I was applying for college that I'd spelled my name. My mom and dad had spelled my name wrong all my life, and they had always spelled it with a Z, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, and it was S-U-S-A-N-N-E. So I had to change everything. Get a new, you know, social security, all that kind of stuff. But you didn't know about that till you actually had to get your birth certificate the first time, you know. But anyway, that was kind of an unusual thing. Mm-hmm. In high school, I was a scholarly student, and also had an interest in art. And unbeknownst to me, I was at Christmas time one year, I think I was probably about in eighth grade, I found all these paint set things that were really nice. And so I decided, we had window glasses on each side of the front door, and I decided I would paint a Christmas scene on all that. And it wasn't a permanent paint, you know, it was something. So when Mom came in from work, I had all that painting on the side of the, you know, the Christmas scenes and all that kind of stuff. Well, unbeknownst to me, that was my Christmas present that year. They had hidden all the stuff from me in my sister's drawer, which I wasn't supposed to be in, but I found it and used it, and that was one of the things that kind of got me. But I was also interested in painting. I did China painting, and then later in life, a lot of watercoloring and stuff like that, and then had a real good friend in the family who was an artist, and she kept me going in that and would show my things at shows and stuff, and had won some ribbons. It was just a county thing, wasn't anything, no prize money or anything, just kind of a notoriety type thing. Also in the garden club, you know, I like that sort of stuff. I've always been interested in more of the, I guess, decorative in artistic things. In high school, I was a majorette. And then that carried me on into college. I did that. Was a music major in college at Southern State. And that's where my job was to keep the practice hours. So I was taking 21 hours, and also over in the music building, making sure that everybody that was scheduled was practicing their time, because you had to practice so many hours a week as part of your curriculum grades, you know, to do that. All right. Let me back up just a minute, too. I forgot to say something. I know I talked about my dad's mother, Granny, taught me about sewing, but then when we would spend a lot of time with my mom's mama, she taught us how to cook. So I learned cooking from her, and how to grow vegetables and all that sort of thing. So, but back in the school days, my chorus start actually, and being in a play and all that kind of stuff, started when I was in upper elementary grades. And we even had chorus, so that was a good thing. I wasn't interested in dancing. My older sister was. She tried to get me to do that, but I didn't like that. So I went on with the piano part. And like I said, in high school, I actually played accompaniments for the chorus and all that sort of thing, too. And we would do different, like summertime, just different kinds of musical things that we would do. I sometimes played the accompaniment, because we didn't have CDs and tapes to play by then. So, and I was in the band. I played alto sax, and of course we would... I also had a dance band, and we would play for different things with sock hops and stuff like that, too. I didn't date a whole lot in high school. I just was too interested in studies and art and all that kind of stuff, and boys were just kind of secondhand. And until I got, I guess when I was a senior, I kind of dated a little more. So when I went to college, I really did go to get an education, you know. I was disappointed that I didn't get to go off, but then I wouldn't have ever met my husband and dream of my life. So that God was in all of that. One of the things I remember is painting when I was still probably early junior high, maybe in sixth grade, was we had an art contest at our church. And it was supposed to be around a religious spiritual theme, and I painted a picture of Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and my Sunday school teacher took that and really made a big deal of it or whatever. So that was the first thing that really kind of got me even more. I could draw and kind of sketch and just do, you know, kind of dumb things maybe, but that was the first thing that I really got into, and that was just poster art, poster paints and stuff I worked with. I took architectural drawing in high school and thought that would be something I really wanted to do, and I did love it. And we had a neat teacher, but he took my project and turned it in as part of his master's work. So, you know, I guess it was okay, but I didn't know at the time that was probably not the thing he should have done. But I thought, and he told me about it, you know, he said, well, I won with your architectural, it was of a house. It's kind of like a dream house I had planned, which I actually pretty much got to build when we moved, when my husband and I moved to Marshall, Texas, in '69. But anyway, I just kind of planned it, but I didn't draw it, obviously, then. But, okay, back to college years, I guess. I'm there now. Southern State College. It was a small college, and I was a music major there. And I did meet my husband, Don. He was a mule, what they called a mule rider guide. We had Maggie the Mule as our, what do you call them, mascot, which I thought, okay. Well, Southern State at that time was an agricultural, what they call it, agricultural mechanical A&M college, so I guess that kind of went, but a mule, you know, okay. Anyway, so, but that was a funny thing. We met in October and dated some, and of course I was dating too and everything, and then as he stated in his side of the story, and it was correct that at Christmas time he decided, okay, you know, he didn't want me to date anybody, but I did have a couple of boys back home that I actually did see them, because we just went to like country club parties and stuff like that, you know, anyway. So you know, and then he said he would, but I wouldn't. I said, nope, that's it. So anyway, then that kind of called us off to friends, got us together back in January, unbeknownst to each one of us that we were going to be meeting, but it did. And so it, of course, led to our engagement in March and then our wedding in August of 62. So that all worked out really well. All right. Our wedding in August, back then you didn't really have a lot of formality, but I wanted to make my own wedding dress. So I got the material and everything and sketched it out, what I wanted it to look like. And this sweet little lady though, Mrs. Green, who was in Magnolia, she wanted to do my headpiece for me. So she wanted to do that for me. She went to the church where I actually played the organ and for the services, and so she wanted to do that. So we had the headpiece made. Then there was a lady that was in Texarkana that another friend of our family knew, and she said, Suzanne, you're going to be too busy to make that dress. I said, you don't want to mess it up. I said, so let me take it to this lady. So we did, and she was a dream. She got it perfectly, just exactly like I wanted it. So that was the dress. And then the bridesmaids, my sister was married, my older sister was married at that time. She was my maid of honor, and her oldest child, Stephanie, was the ring bearer. The flower girl, and then her, Don's little brother, Steve, was 7 at the time, and he was the ring bearer. And the dresses at that time, they were out of like a patois type of fabric, but I wanted graduated colors. I did not want everybody to look the same. So they started in from the deep pinks to the light pinks. And the flowers were, I taught the florist, I taught her son piano lessons. And so she wanted to do some with the flowers. And so she concocted the same kind of color scheme with what she called glamelias, and it was her invention, I guess, but she would put different petals of different flowers together to make one big flower, and that was what the bridesmaids carried. And then mine was a combination of all the traditional kind of flowers for the, you know, wedding. But so we got married on August the 5th of 1962, and that was back to when you didn't have destination weddings, which you had just a church wedding. It was a Sunday afternoon, and the reception and everything was right there. It was kind of like tea and crumpets, you know. You had your big wedding cake, and you had your punch, and you had your mints and nuts and just little things like that. You didn't have to have a lot of different, but it was very nice, and we had a large number of people came. My childhood friend that I grew up with, that was just a neighbor down the street, his name was Lee Malazzo, and he had had polio when he was a child, and he could walk with some crutches, but he was in a wheelchair most of the time, and he sang. He sang at our wedding. They had an elevator that went up to the balcony, so he sang from the balcony, and he sang our wedding songs from that. And of course, the organist that was at our church, she played and everything. So that was, we had the full scale type of wedding. Our minister was our pastor from college for the Methodist Union, which was a college organization.
Wesley Foundation.
We actually attended a Methodist church in town, but for our socials and all the campus activities and stuff like that, you know, we always went over to the Wesley Foundation for that. I think when I was dating Don, our first date was actually one of the school dances in October, and it was a fun time, you know. You weren't really a couple then, you just kind of were there, and you know, you stayed with your partner or whatever, but then you could dance with others and just have a good time around. One of the drawbacks was that when we had other dances, sometimes I was playing in the dance band, so I wasn't able to actually have a date and go to the things there. Well, we did have a thing at Christmas, but I think that was the last date we had before Christmas break. Granny usually made the birthday cake, mm-hmm. or we bought it at a bakery. Oh, I can remember one thing in school, I guess. In going through school from all the way through elementary, actually through high school, there were two other girls who were Valentine girls, and we always had our birthdays together. We'd have, because we were all inviting the same people, so we'd have a birthday together, and they'd make a big heart cake or something, you know, the different moms. My mom didn't bake. She didn't make cakes. My grandmother, my dad's granny, you know, would bake a cake every now and then. But we had a great time, just all three of us always having the same birthday. So that was kind of a fun experience all the way through school while we were, you know, in grade school and all the way through high school. Okay. Growing up, my dad was a big hunter and fisherman, and our vacations were taken like going to meet his brother or something and camping out on a river or something on that nature. So that was what we did for vacations in the summertime. It was a good experience because I loved the Girl Scout camping anyway, and as a family, we all went and did that and stayed in a tent, cooked out over the fire, and swam in the creeks or whatever was close by. Then we had a good time doing that, and that was a good family time. His sister didn't like that, my dad's sister, so they never joined us. It was just his younger brother, and we have a good time with them. And we stayed in close contact with all the cousins to this day. We've had a good relationship with all of them. Our parents, of course, have since passed, but and their parents as well, but we've always kept together and remembered each other's birthdays and things like that. Had good times growing up playing with them, cousins in the summer would come and visit and all that. So we've had, like I was saying from the very first, our whole family was always just a great experience. We never had any difficulties or anything that really caused any problems, and it was a very loving environment for everybody all the way around. When I was in high school, I began having problems with intestinal problems and allergies and all that sort of thing, and ended up going to the doctor and had a test run and found out I was really allergic to dust and all kinds of grasses and everything. And I really think probably it was more stress with trying to make sure I had a 4 point or whatever, and trying to keep up with everything I was doing and music and all that. But anyway, our bedroom, the doctor said, you got to take down, cannot have any rugs, cannot have any big heavy drapes or any of that sort of thing. So I got to redecorate my sister's and my bedroom. We had twin beds, and so I took down everything. We put it I think we gave it to the lady that ironed for us every week, and I got some pastel striped multicolored sheets, and I made the curtains out of sheets, and I made the spreads out of sheets, and I made a dust ruffle out of white sheets, and kind of redecorated our room that year. So but they, you know, and then I of course had allergy medicine had to take, but anyway, that was a kind of a unique experience that we went through. as far as the house goes. Now, my sister and I, the younger sister and I, my older sister was already gone at that time, married, but we always did all the housework and the house cleaning and everything for Mom anyway, because she did work. She was a receptionist at a doctor's office. But we would, and Ginger and I actually would do a lot of the cooking as well. We would do, we learned how to do one pot meals, roast and spaghetti, or the, pasta dishes or something that was easy. And we try to have something ready. Of course, we could make hamburgers pretty good. We always had hamburgers every Saturday night. And my aunt and uncle who lived in town, my mom's oldest sister, they didn't have any children. They would come over and we would watch all the old TV shows like Lawrence Welk or I Love Lucy or all those types of things. And it was really funny. My aunt and uncle, they were fastidious in their ways. Both of them were professionals. And where our TV was in the one TV in the living room area, and we had a sofa, and behind the sofa my aunt and uncle would pull up side chairs, and he would always say, "We're gonna sit in the balcony." So that was kind of a fun experience. But they would come over every Saturday night for hamburgers. And then of course the next day Dad was usually off fishing, because that was his weekend. So he, and then my mom and I and the aunt and uncle would and my other aunt would always go up to my grandparents, her mom and dad in Ashdown, to have our Sunday family dinner and then play outside with the cousins and all. So that was a good time too. I was trying to think other things that happened during school years. I know I mentioned before wanting to make my wedding dress. Okay. Well, I didn't do that, but I did make my wedding suit, because at that time you dressed up when you left the church. You had to be dressed up, so I had a wedding suit. I made that. And before that, I was making pretty much all my clothes that we wore for the parties or anything sort of like that. So I did a lot of that beside working, and going to school. School closed when I was in senior high. I didn't make a whole lot of them, but my grandmother was still living at that time, and she'd make us some really neat things to kind of keep us in fashion. And of course I did work for my aunt too, that I told you about, that didn't have any children, because she wanted me to come clean her house. So that was how I got my spending money every Saturday. From the time I was in junior high through high school, I would go over to her house every Saturday and clean her house for her. And then she would pay me so I would have some spending money to spend. But most of my spending money went to buy stuff to make stuff with. So I didn't really buy a whole lot of clothing or anything with it. Of course, Mom and Dad furnished our basic stuff anyway. But, it's like having some spending money, which I learned at an early age. I babysat a lot too with different kids and came up doing that just to have some extra around for times when things that I wanted to do or buy on my own. And that was a good experience, because it taught you that you weren't owed anything, that you really needed to earn and make your way. So I guess I've had a work ethic instilled upon me from the time I was little, because even Mom, we had chores, that we had to do, and it kind of was fun. We had a good time because my sister and I did them together most of the time. The three of us did them really when we were all together at home. So of course, as I mentioned before, we had a very loving family, spiritual family, and we did go to church every Sunday. And I was raised up in the Baptist church in Texarkana, and when I was 9 years old, there was an evangelist that came to town, and we girls, pretty much, there was nine of us pretty much, that we all just sat together in pews, of course, revival services, you went, and we did, and there was a Sunday morning that we were all sitting there, and this evangelist was preaching, and so I don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit really convicting me that Sunday or what, but anyway, all of us went forward. But we were really never dealt with as far as really going into the full explanation of personal relationship with Christ, and we just signed a card and were baptized 2 weeks later. So I grew up all my life thinking I was okay, but I never really, it was always a nagging doubt. You know, I was always thinking, well, I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing enough, or something like that. So it wasn't until after I married and been married, I guess, it was in 72, married in 62, so that was 10 years, that we had a lay witness program come to our church in Marshall, Texas. And we had a big meeting, and then we'd have home meetings. And our best friend, and my husband, Don, he said we would go to one person's house on a Sunday night, and I said we were going to another person's house on a Sunday night. And so what happened was, after the big meeting, he drove me to the person I said we were going to, and I thought, okay, he didn't want to, but that's what we were going to do. Well, he literally pushed me out the car and left and went to the one he wanted to go to. But the guy, you know, the Lord was even in that, because the man who was actually organizing all the lay witness mission was from Dallas, and he actually just felt impressed that night to drive from Dallas to this one person's home where I was. And when I think about it, we, you know, had the general chit-chat and the meeting and talking and everything, and then it was time to close, and he wanted to have everybody join hands and be in a circle of prayer. And all of a sudden, he just shouted out, "Oh, I almost forgot. I promised the Lord I would never leave a meeting without asking this question to everybody in this room." Well, my friend Marianne was next to me, and she was first, and he asked, "If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you would go to heaven?" And she said, "Yes." Well, it was my turn, and I told him, "I'm not sure." So that night, he led me to the Lord through the Scripture. You know, it's the Word of God that leads you to conviction. It's not some men's words or telling stories or whatever. It's the Word of God. And he led me to Christ that night. So that was actually my salvation experience in April of 1972. And that really changed our whole life as far as a married couple, too. Because that year, we began going around at lay witness missions all over our area, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and around. And our whole family would go. At that time, we just had the three children. And everybody, we all sang together, and we went and gave our testimonies and sang at lay witness missions around at that time. But that was a kind of awakening. I mean, in our church, I was in the choir, obviously, because I sang. I was worked head of the GAs, which is a girls organization at that time, Southern Baptist Churches, and was, you know, real active in everything that was at the church. But I just never had that peace of where I was supposed to be, and that settled at that night. One of the things that was really neat that happened during that time, my oldest son Eric, after we'd had our lay witness mission and everything, and he, you know, of course, back home and the kids and all, and one night we were with this older couple, Papa and Budgie, we called them, that were really great friends, and an older couple, and we just kind of took up with them, and they were kind of the grandparents for the kids in town right there with us. And so Budgie asked Eric, says, "Well, have you noticed anything different about your mom?" Because Papa was not too sure that I wasn't saved already, but he was just outward appearance, you know. And anyway, Budgie asked that question. Eric said, "Well, yeah, she doesn't holler at me anymore." So I guess in that time, and also one of the other things that really told is that we got, both of us actually got Living Bibles, and I devoured that book. It was coming apart at the end of the couple of years that we were still there in Marshall. But that was just a real kind of an antidote to add to the story. And it was like a release that God gave me. And what led up to that, too, before we moved to Marshall, we lived in Minden, Louisiana, and across the street was the pastor. They were building a parsonage for him, and he moved into a little house across the street from us. And we had started going to the Baptist church because we found that at times it seemed like that the Methodist church that we were going to were more interested in a social gospel than a real gospel. And I even knew the difference, even though I wasn't, you know, at the time. But when I was teaching Sunday school for Eric, who at that time was still just in the preschool part, and they were equating Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King and Christ as the same, that did it. And so I told Don about it, and he said, well, he went and talked to the pastor about it, and the pastor said, well, Don, I know, but said, this is our material, and this is what we have to teach. So at that time, we had really good friends that went to the Baptist church, which was actually across the street. And so we started going there, and then Pastor Prince came over one time and asked us, you know, because we had indicated an interest in joining the church. He came over, and he asked us, Don, about his salvation. Well, Don, Dad, you know, he had an experience when he was at a little youth camp before when he was 11 years old, and that was his salvation. He remembered it really. Very vividly. And then when it came to that point, then Dr. Prince said, well, what about you, Suzanne? And I said, well, I was raised in Faith Baptist Church and baptized when I was 9 years old. And he didn't go any further. He didn't ask anything about a salvation experience at that time, because that's all I knew. Then after that, we grew in that church. We had a Miss Cuma Shealy was a Sunday school teacher, and she really taught the Word of God. And then a couple of years later, we actually moved to Marshall, and that was when I had the lay witness mission and the lay experience of my own personal salvation relationship with Christ at that time. The lay witness mission, by the way, was when we had people from all over the country come in to this town, and it was at the East Texas Baptist College where it was held. And it was people would come at their own expense who had really had a terrific relationship with the Lord, and they wanted to share it. We had people from South Carolina, we had people from Texas, Missouri, just all around, even from far, far off, and they came with their own experience to let people know how they came to know the Lord. And so we had special speakers at the meetings on the campus, and then when we go into the homes, like I said, then you would have more just kind of get to know you better type things, and that's where I had my salvation experience there. One of the things when we started going to lay witness missions ourselves, we did it in the more local areas, but one of the times when we were in Louisiana, Don was always the one to give the testimony first, and he talked about you know, how he came to know Christ and all that, and that God would leave a empty space in your heart, and he said and you can't fill it with horses, coon dogs, and rabbits. And I looked at him and I thought, what? You know, but come to find out, in the congregation that day, there was someone who raised horses, there was someone who had coon dogs, and there was someone who did rabbits, and all three of them came to know the Lord that day. So that was one of the special things. An interesting thing about after he said those things and those three people came forward was that the pastor came after the service and said, how did you know to say that? And, you know, Don said, I don't know where it came from. And he said, well, I can tell you where it came from. It came from the Holy Spirit, because the lady raises thoroughbred horses. The guy's the biggest coon hunter in town. And the other lady raises rabbits commercially. And said, I've been praying for these three people to come to church and, you know, be able to hear the gospel. And said, they did today.